Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end, amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So we continue with volume 7, November 28th, 1906. And Louisa says, continuing in my poor state. The reason she was talking about the poor state, she realized that in her humanity, this is where she would always begin. She would want to let go of her humanity and enter into divinity. And not to become God, but to share in divinity, as what the priest says every day at Holy Mass. This is what God is asking. So she says, I was continuing my poor state. This is where we are. We have to understand that what the Lord has given to us is he has redeemed us in our fallen state. And through holy baptism, we are no longer sons and daughters of Adam. We become sons and daughters of God. And this, even though we have been redeemed and we begin to enter into God's image, the likeness of God, Louisa recognized, was not continuous at this point in her understanding. And she says, I just barely saw blessed Jesus. So again, her joy, her life was being one with Jesus. This is what happens with us when we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, when we spend time with our Eucharistic Lord, the prisoner of love. When we are with Jesus, we feel more alive. When we receive Holy Communion, we feel more alive. When we make a good confession, we feel more alive. We are full of grace when we make a good confession. But our poor state is it's the fallen nature, even though we have been redeemed. And Jesus has freed us from the slavery of the devil, but he knows all our weaknesses and he goes after us. And that's why we make a firm purpose of amendment when we go to confession, to avoid any near occasion of sin. This is what God is asking of us. He's asking us to enter into that pure life of Jesus, that pure life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So here, when Louisa saw Jesus, she became alive. She filled with peace, joy, and happiness. She said she could breathe. Her heart could beat again because Jesus was her life. He was her everything. So I just barely saw blessed Jesus, who seemed all transformed, transformed all of himself into me. Do you see why she was so excited? Jesus was transforming all of himself into Louisa. He was entering into take possession as what God did with Adam in the beginning. When the Ruah of God, when the breath of God breathed into the dust, that dust became the image and likeness of God. That dust is what we call Adam. Adam became one with God. So this is what we're looking for. We are looking to have Jesus transforming all of himself into us. This is what God is asking. In such a way that if I breathe, I could feel his breathing in mine. So when we take a breath, we have to begin to discipline ourselves to experience Jesus. This, when we breathe, we have to understand that is Jesus breathing in our breathing. He is taking us at our word. We say, Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, you know, gaze in my gazing, listen in my listening. When we do this, again, you're entering into this communion with God. And that's what Adam had. Adam had a perennial communion with God. So if we breathe, if I breathe, she said, I, Louisa, could feel Jesus' breathing in mine. If I move my arm, I could feel him move his arm within me, mine. So again, this is what's happening. What's happening is we are entering into this life. And again, this isn't pious thought. This is an actuality that that occurs. Jesus begins to reign us. When we say, Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, dance in my dancing, sing in my singing, Jesus says, okay, I'll do that. If you really want, I will do this. And we have to begin to understand that this is what God wants. This is what it means to begin to be in God's image and likeness. And so with all the rest. And while Jesus was doing this, he told me, my beloved daughter, this is Louisa, see in what a close union I am. He uses God's name. I am with you. So again, this intimacy, this oneness is what God wants. This is what God did when Adam came into existence. He was one with Adam. Adam was one with God. There was no separation. Entering into this great gift of the divine will, this is what Adam possessed. And this is what God wants for us. So as we get closer and closer to God, as we draw closer and closer to our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, everything within you begins to be one with Christ. I mean, this is the amazing thing. Even your suffering, any suffering that you're going through, you're one with Christ, basically, ultimately on Calvary. And again, when the Father sees a soul who loves his Son, the Father, our Heavenly Father, says, I want you to become more like him, not only in the joy, but in the sorrow, in not only in the happiness, but in the suffering. And this is for most people at first, you know, frightening. I don't want to go through this. You know, I mean, why do I have to go through this? You know, no, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional sufferings are what we all go through. Yet Jesus says to Louisa, basically, I want you to enter into a divine healing. Not just, see, the great thing about the divine will is perfect restoration, to go back to where we were before the fall. So the all those people that were healed 100 years ago have died. That was a healing for a short time. Jesus says to Louisa, I want the miracle of miracles to happen with my gift of the divine will. As Adam, you know, entered into this abundant life, you know, Jesus says, I want my children to re-enter into this abundant life. So what is he doing with Louisa? He's teaching Louisa. Again, this is volume 7. This is 1906. She's got another, 41 years of life. You know, Jesus is teaching her. And at the end of her life, Jesus says to Louisa, Louisa would say to Jesus, I am so sorry that I didn't always live in the divine will, that I went into my human will, that I fell into, you know, not this union with you. And Jesus said to Louisa, this is for us to understand. He said to Louisa, you don't understand, Louisa, you never were separated from me in the divine will. And you go, well, how can this be? Because in the divine will, we're constantly repairing and redoing. At the end of our life, we're going, if we really are focused on the divine will, it's going to look as if we never sinned. How can that be? It's the prayer of the church, the Holy Spirit prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, enkindle in us the fire of your love. That's the divine will. Send forth your Spirit and we will be recreated. And then you will renew the face of the earth through us. Jesus says it will look as if Adam didn't sin. This is going to be the shame and the insult. I mean, the devil is going to be completely humiliated at the end, because as everything is repaired, as everything is redone, Jesus says it will look as if Adam didn't sin. This is the glory of God, because our job is to repair and redo as Jesus did on the cross, as Mary did at the foot of the cross, repair and redo. But it was not only then, It was their whole life. And so what happens here is, he says, my beloved daughter, see in what close union I am with you. We have to begin to understand that, as Our Lady told Louisa, the secret of living in the divine will, the secret of living in the divine will is that it will be as if Adam, I know, the secret of living in the divine will, it would be as if it was only you and Jesus on the earth. So our spouse, we are to fall more and more in love with Jesus. Everything that we think, say, and do should be more and more focused on our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. You know, I hear so many songs of love that are out there, and it's all about me, 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 me. And no, love is He has loved us. And that's why when we recognize who our God is, our Savior, our Master, He is our Savior. We're not the saviors. You know, a lot of people are worried about their family, their friends, their neighbors, worried about the world, worried, worried, worried. Jesus said to His apostles, does worry add one moment to your life? And He says, of course it doesn't. And then He says, stop worrying. That's a command from Jesus. So in the divine will, what we have learned is from St. Faustina, Jesus, I trust in you. Now to go beyond that, Jesus, I have confidence in you. You are my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. A lot of things are going to happen. A lot of things are going to be difficult, but it's nothing to worry about. We trust in Him. We believe in Him. So He says to Louisa, you do what I want and I'll do what you want. Do we believe that Jesus really said that? If we believe that Jesus really said that, there's no more worries. There's no more fears. There's no more anxieties and no more complaints, no more negativities. And when that happens to us, we say to Jesus, I trust you. And we, with confidence, I trust you. I believe in you. I hope in you. So what does He say to Louisa? He says, see in what a close union I am with you. Now, if we are linked to Louisa, Jesus is saying that to us as well. And we have to begin to see this and understand this. When you say, when you wake up in the morning and you do your prevenient act, Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, and repair and redo in the name of, I want to repair and redo, renew in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, God goes, good. Then He goes, do you really believe this? And when we say, yes, Lord, He goes, good. Now let's go a step further. Every day, it's a step further in all that we think, say, and do. So He says this. This is how I, God, want you to be. Completely united, completely clasped to Jesus. That He wants us to be bound to Him, tied to Him. He wants us never to be separated from Him. Why? He's our God. He wants us to participate in this sharing in divinity. It's what the priest says every day at Holy Mass. He wants us to begin to live this abundant life of total and complete trust and confidence in Him. He wants us to begin to live heaven. And what is heaven? It's adoring God, loving God, praising God, thanking God, glorifying God. It's to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. So the Lord is saying, basically, I have redeemed you. You are freed from the evil one. And now I want to sanctify you. So what is this sanctification? What is this third fiat? This is what it is. He says, basically, it's this. I want you to be completely united and collapsed to me. And do not think that you must do this only when you suffer or when you pray, but rather always, always. Walking down the street, Jesus walking my walking, breathing my breathing, beating my heart beating, dancing, swimming. What He says, always, I want you to be one with me. Don't separate yourself from me. And this is the peace. This is the joy. This is the happiness of heaven while on earth. And then everything that you think, say, and do, Jesus is going to show us in a minute how He is doing this. When we're clasped to him, he, our Lord, our God, our King, our Master, our Savior, is doing that one with us. So he says, if you move, if you breathe, if you work, if you eat, if you sleep, everything, everything as if you were doing it in my holy humanity. Okay, this is what's very, very important. A lot of people say, well, I'm doing divine. I'm living in the divine will. I'm doing divine acts. Sorry. Do everything as if you were doing everything in my holy humanity. Jesus says to Louisa, I want you to be my skin. I want to be your clothing. I want to cover you in divinity, clothe you in divinity. I want you to participate as if you are doing this, but I, the Lord God Almighty, am doing this in you. This is why God created Adam. So creatures, humans, could be doing what God does, could be living the life one with God, fused with God. He says this, everything as if you were doing it in my holy humanity, and as if you were working, your working came from God. Your breathing came from God. Your dancing came from God. Your singing came from God. In such a way that you should be nothing but the cortex. And once the cortex of your work is broken, anybody should find the fruit of the divine work in the person. It's God that's doing it in us. See, Jesus says the universe was made for God. Excuse me, sorry. The universe was made for man. The human will was made for God. God wanted to reign in our human will. God, infinite God, wanted to reign in our human will. And when Adam sinned and he said, this is the original sin. I don't want you, God, to be in charge. I'm going to be in charge. When that happened, everything fell apart. And we've been in misery ever since. And this is why we go to confession each week. Blessed be Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I'm sorry. I don't want to live like this. I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid any near occasion of sin. Why? I want to begin to live this pure life of Jesus, this pure life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And what is that purity? It's living in the divine will. No worries, no fears, no anxieties, no complaints, no negativities, no sin. Now, nobody is there yet because that great day hasn't occurred. Jesus is teaching us and he's saying, you got to strive for this. You got to focus on this. You know, that's why we read the calendar every day. We read the calendar every day. And why? So that Jesus can teach us how and why this has to happen. The how and the why. This is why Jesus calls the book of heaven the gospel of the kingdom. As we enter into this gospel of the kingdom, what happens at this point is everything becomes alive. So this is what Jesus says. He says, why? Because when you really look, the fruit of what you're doing, the breath, the heartbeat, the step, he says, is of divine work. It's Jesus that's doing this. Do you see the intimacy that God wants with us? One with him, fused with him, bound to him. And that's why we begin every morning as soon as we wake up with our prevenient act. And then throughout the day, we do our actual acts because our brains are, you know, we don't think constantly of God, where our brains wander away from God. Our thoughts wander away from God. And then God will ask us, say, for example, you're washing the dishes. God will ask while you're washing the dishes and you're praising God, loving God, glorifying God. He'll say, why are you doing this? Oh, and then you go, because for every dish, I praise you and I bless you and I glorify with your praise, with your adoration, with your blessing. Every bubble that I see in the name of every human being, past, present, and future, I adore you, I love you, I praise you for any of the bubbles that any of the humans have ever seen, past, present, and future. This is an explosion of I love yous to the throne of God. This is heaven. And what do those prayers do when they go up? They say, come divine will, come rain on earth as it is in heaven. That's our job. That's our mission. Jesus says, this is the mission of missions. This is the greatest thing that humans could possibly do. Work with Louisa to fulfill the Our Father. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And when that happens, the evil one has to leave because heaven's coming to earth and the evil one has been banished from heaven. So therefore he will be banished from earth. See, what's coming is a new era. And that's why Jesus keeps on saying to us, get ready. He says, and that's why we're going to do everything in Jesus's holy humanity. Why? If you don't do everything in the holy humanity of Christ, you have to go to purgatory to be purged of everything that is the fallen human nature. All right. And once everything has been purged, then you can share in divinity. Do you see why, you know, the people are saying, well, I'm living in the divine will. Well, we want to live in the divine will, but the fullness isn't here yet. The fullness, you have to read and study. You have to learn this language of heaven. And Jesus teaches us every single day. And he says very, very clearly, and you must do all of this, every thought, every word, every deed, for the good of the whole humanity. That's what God is waiting for. Louisa has done this. And now Jesus says, if you wish, I can give you what I gave to Louisa. But you're going to have to listen to what Jesus said to Louisa. And how do we listen? By reading. And as we read this, Jesus is speaking to us. And we hear him with our heart, our mind, our soul. We begin to hear the Lord with his loving voice, leading us, guiding us, directing us to whom? To himself. To begin to live that holy humanity of Jesus, the holy humanity that the Blessed Mother had through Christ. And this is what's happening. And you must do this for the good of the whole human family. So it's not just your family. Your family, your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, your parishioners help you pray. When you see someone ill, when you see someone away from the church, when you see someone enraged, if you say three things. This is what Jesus taught Louisa. Number one, thank you, Jesus, for showing this to me. Number one, a lot of people become enraged. How dare they do this? No. Thank you, Jesus, for showing me this. Number two, they are hurting you, Lord. You are the one that's, you don't want us to live like this, the fallen human nature any longer. You have redeemed us. And number three, I want to repair this. I want to redo this as if this never occurred. This sin never occurred. So what is happening is you're repairing and redoing. Why? For the good of the whole humanity. As we begin to do this, as we learn how to do this, this is what Jesus says. The little children of the holy divine will today are the yeast. Everybody else is the flour. And it's not that we're important. It's not anything like that. He says the majority of humanity at this time, their human will is so strong that they cannot live in the divine will. Their humanity is so strong. Their fallen nature is so strong that they're focused on what they want to do. Even the religious. I don't know how many religious people I've met that have said to me, oh, we don't need another saint. We have John of the Cross. We have Teresa of Avila. We have Catherine of Siena. We have Teresa of Lisieux. We have our saints. We have Maximian Kolbe. We have our saints. We don't need another one. And the thing about it is, Louisa is not another saint. Louisa was given the gift of gifts. Louisa was given the prodigy of prodigies. And in sacred scripture, we hear it very clearly. The greatest man born of woman, John the Baptizer. He says, this is the greatest man born of woman, but the least in the kingdom. That's Louisa. That's Louisa. The littlest in the kingdom. That's what Jesus says to Louisa. The least in the kingdom is greater than he. So what God has planned is to go back to where Adam was before the fall. So this is what Jesus says. He says, you must do this for the good of the whole of humanity in such a way that my holy humanity must be present. Jesus is doing this in us. It's not us. It's Jesus in us that's doing it. Even the command prayer, people think, well, you know, how dare you command God? No, you say, this is my humble prayer, and I surrender it to you, Lord Jesus. This will be your command. May my prayer become your command. That's exactly what Peter did when he walked on the water. He said to Jesus, if you're the Messiah, he sees Jesus walking on the water, command me to come to you. Take my prayer, make it your command. Jesus said, come. Peter walked on the water because of Jesus, not because of Peter, because of the command of Jesus. That's why Jesus says, ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. It's a new beginning that's coming. So what's happening is this. He says, in such a way that my holy humanity must be present as you breathe, as your heart beats, as you walk, as you talk, whatever you're doing, as though alive again in the midst of the people, in the midst of your family, in the midst of your friends, in the midst of your neighbors, your coworkers. And as this happens, as Jesus's holy humanity is alive again, he's reigning in us, and we are his skin, and he is breathing in our breathing, beating in our heart beating, gazing in our gazing, listening in our listening, speaking in our speaking. He says, as this happens, the people will say, yes, I want this life. See, the miracle that's coming, it's going to be so powerful that everyone will say, I want to be a baptized Catholic. Everyone will say this because they begin to understand that the to be in God's image is to be baptized. To be in God's likeness is to begin to live the gospel of the kingdom. And where is the gospel of the kingdom? It's in the book of heaven, Jesus says. So in fact, he says, I want my holy humanity present in your family, present with your friends, present with your neighbors, as though alive. I am alive again in the midst of people. And I mean, just think about it. When somebody speaks to you, if Jesus, you're letting Jesus breathe in your breathing, listen in your listening, it's Jesus listening to the person. It's Jesus gazing in your gazing. It's Jesus speaking in your speaking. And it's not telling them what to do, but it's to allow God to reign. And then they will feel, they will experience the peace, the joy, the happiness of Christ. And they'll say, basically, how can you be so peaceful? How can you be so happy? How can you do this? And it's very simple. Jesus is there. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my happiness. He is my comfort. He's my savior. He's my king. He's my everything. This is what Jesus says. We want the holy humanity of Christ to begin to live in us. Why? Because Jesus is calling us to share in his divinity. But if we don't have his holy humanity reigning in us, we'll have to go to purgatory to be purged of everything that is opposite his holy humanity. And that's impatience, that's worry, that's fear, that's anxiety, that's complaints, that's negativity, that's sin. That all has to be gone. So Jesus is teaching Louisa, this is how I want you to begin to live. So he says, in fact, as you do everything, even the most indifferent actions, blinking, with this intention to receive life from God, from Jesus, to live, to have Jesus' holy humanity living in us, reigning in us, he says, your actions acquire the divine merit of my holy humanity. Jesus is there. See, this is the intimacy that God wants. This is why the two become one. Jesus came to earth for a bride, and he wants to marry the church collectively, but he says to Louisa, I want to marry each of my children individually, as if they had their own Savior, their own Jesus. He says, in fact, as you do everything, even the most indifferent actions, with this intention to receive life from me, Jesus, I want life from Jesus, your actions acquire the merits of my holy humanity, because since I was man and God in my breathing, I contain the breath of all. So what's happening? As you say, breathe in my breathing, you are becoming one with all of humanity. You're entering into the prime act of God. You are participating in that fiat of God, the one word, fiat. This fiat lux of God, all the universe began. The fiat mihi of our Blessed Mother, the incarnation took place. And now the fiat voluntas tua, may your kingdom reign on this earth, in this dust, as you reign in heaven. Everything's happening with the third fiat. Creation is being fulfilled. Redemption is being completed. Because Jesus says, I didn't come to earth just to redeem mankind. I came to earth to redeem and sanctify mankind. Just think about it. Are we supposed to live like this? What was Adam's DNA like? Adam's DNA was the image and likeness of God. What does our DNA say? We become old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and we become food for worms. That wasn't part of God's plan. So Jesus says at this time, and this is what's so great, now a new beginning is coming. But it's really not new. It's what Adam gave, what our God gave to Adam. But it's the way Jesus lived. It's the way Mary lived, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is why God wants us to begin to allow him to breathe in our breathing, beat in our heart beating, so that the new era can begin. And this is what he's saying. He's saying it very, very clearly. And in fact, as you do everything, even the most indifferent actions, with this intention of receiving divine life from me, your actions acquire the divine merit of my holy humanity, because since I was God and man, in my breathing, I contain the breathing of everyone, past, present, and future. In the movements, in the actions, in the thoughts, I, God, contained within myself. Therefore, I, God, sanctified them. I, God, divinized them. I, God, repaired them. So that's what Jesus is asking us. I want you to begin to live in my holy humanity. I want you to be focused, Jesus says, on me. I want you to begin to be happy with me. So this is the main reason I think John Paul II stated that he wanted Eucharistic adoration in every parish. As we enter into each parish to see Jesus in the monstrance, as we begin to adore him and love him and praise him and thank him and bless him and worship him, what happens at that point is it's a new beginning for what God has planned. You don't go for Eucharistic adoration by reading. I mean, St. Teresa says, if you can't think of anything, read something and then focus on the Eucharist, and then read something. And when your mind wanders, then focus on the Eucharist. And a lot of times, reading the writings that Jesus dictated to Louisa and looking at Jesus at the same time, I think at that point you begin to experience a deeper love for Jesus. And again, the greatest thing about this gift of the divine will, you fall more in love with Jesus. You fall more in love with the Blessed Mother. And our God is asking us, and he's pleading with us to allow him to reign in us. And see, it's an act of will. We use our free will to choose. Do I want to continue to live in my miserable human will? And what is your human will? It's what you say when you go to confession. That's the fallen nature, even though we have been redeemed. And Jesus knew that even though he has redeemed us, we were still going to fall. And by the grace of God, thank you, Jesus, he's given us the sacrament of penance. But then what Jesus is asking is that he's asking us to begin to live this life of peace, joy, and happiness by focusing on him. So what I have found is the little children of the Holy Divine Will want to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, want to tell him how magnificent he is, want to praise him and to love him and to glorify him. It's really to begin to live heaven on earth. And this is what Jesus is asking. He's asking us to sanctify everything in us, to divinize everything in us, to repair everything in us. And then with you, Jesus and Mary, I want you, Lord, to sanctify every thought, every word, every deed of every human, past, present, and future. I want you to divinize every thought, every word, every act of every human that ever existed, past, present, and future. I want you, Jesus, to repair for every thought, every word. I want your holy humanity to reign in me. Why? So that I can begin to share in divinity. So we have a lot of work to do. There's a lot of work to be accomplished by us, because Jesus says he's waited. Our God is just so amazing. It's like Cana in Galilee. He saved the best for last. You look at the lives of the great men and women of the Old Testament. You look at the lives of the great saints in the New Testament. And Jesus now says, now I want to sanctify everything. I want to repair everything. I want to renew everything. I want to renew the face of the earth. This the first purification was of the flood because of what happened in Genesis 6:3-4. Read Genesis 6:3-4. It's right there. And then the purge came. Jesus says, you know, this has to be changed. Why? He says, I only found one family that had a pure line back to Adam and Eve. One family. This is the purity that Jesus is talking about. It's how God breathed into Adam, the Ruah of God. The second thing Jesus, the scripture says is that there was Christ dying on the cross. By the shedding of his blood, the world was washed clean. From what? From the corruption, the sin of the devil. We're no longer slaves of him. God freed us. And now the third purification is coming, and that's fire. The third purification is of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the two hearts that are on fire. The new Adam and the new Eve were on fire. And what is that? That's given to Louisa, the newborn. So Jesus is saying to us, I want you to get ready for this new era. Now, what did Jesus say? And again, we know we're in the new era. We know it's beginning because of Louisa. What is said is to Bruno by Our Lady of Revelation, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era. The new era is beginning. The new era is begun. Remember Our Lady speaking to Father Gobi in 1997, December of 1997. He says to Our Lady, says to Father Gobi, everything's completed. Everything's done. Everything's ready. What happened that everything's completed? It was in 1996, the Book of Heaven was basically released from the Vatican. This is what's here. And as the souls begin to read and study and put this in practice, it's really a new beginning. And that's why everything seems to be falling apart in the world, the church, our families, our friends, everything seems to be falling apart. Why? The kingdom is coming. A new era is going to begin. This is what's so spectacular. And Jesus wants us to get ready. Jesus wants us to get ready for this abundant life. And that's why, if you think about it, the vaccines that are coming out, if you really look into it, if you really study what's there, it's to change our DNA. And Jesus says, he said, it will be like in the time of Noah. When he returns, it'll be like the time of Noah. What happened in the time of Noah? The DNA was changed by interbreeding. You check it out. Genesis 6. It's a new, so what's happening today is the evil one wants to destroy humanity. What is the best way to destroy humanity but to change the DNA? You gotta read what's happening and understand what's happening. God wins. There's nothing to worry about. But our job is to get closer to Jesus. Our job is to be so intimate with Jesus that he is sanctifying. He is divinizing. He is repairing in us. It's not us. We're saying, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be Lord of every thought, every word, every deed. Jesus says, good. I want you to allow me to have my holy humanity reign in you to the point that I'm breathing and you're breathing. I'm beating and your heart beating. I'm gazing, you're gazing. I'm thinking and you're thinking. See, we got to begin to, the three powers, we've got to begin to understand things from a divine perspective. Our intellect, not a human fallen nature anymore. How do we do this? Read the book of heaven. Jesus is teaching us. Then Jesus says, I want you to, with your memory, I don't want you to remember what they said against you, what they did against you, what they did against your family, what they did against your nation. He says, I want you to remember what I and the Blessed Mother, the new Adam and the new Eve have done. And that's why when we pray the Holy Rosary, meditating on the mysteries is so essential every day. You know, you think about it. Why did John Paul II give us five more mysteries? Because we're going to pray even more. Our memory is going to be even more focused on Jesus and Mary, looking at Jesus through the eyes of Mary. You know, and with the divine will, there's no time or space. Go to Cana, go to Bethlehem, go to Golgotha. You know, be with Jesus and Mary. You know, let your memory, and again, it's not pious thought. It's an actuality that occurs. And that's what Jesus is doing. So he's saying this. Finally, your human will. I don't want to live in this fallen nature anymore. I don't want to continue to live with my fallen humanity, even though we've been redeemed, to be in charge. I want you, Jesus, to be in charge. I want you, Lord, to be my King, my God, my Savior, my everything. God goes, good. Let me reign in you. You become my skin. Let me be your clothing. And I want to clothe you in divinity, Jesus says. But I want to be there. I don't want to be separated from you anymore. I want to go back to the way I was with Adam before the fall. So Jesus says this. So by doing everything in the act of receiving all of your working from me, Jesus says, you too will come to embrace. You too will come to contain all mankind within you. That's Jesus praying my praying. Jesus in the name of everyone and everything. And then when we pray, Jesus says, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, hear everyone speaking with your voice, adoring God and loving God and praising God, thanking God and glorifying God on earth the way the saints possess it in heaven. Why? God is doing it within you, but it's your voice. And God is hearing the love and the adoration and the praise of everyone. Again, this is an explosion of I love you to the throne of God. How long do you think it's going to take for the kingdom to come? Not very long at all. And how many people have to do this? Not many. Jesus is asking us to do it. So he says this, and your working will diffuse for the good of every human being, past, present, and future. Therefore, even if the others will give me nothing, I, God, will take everything from you. And that's what's happening. When we learn how to pray the command prayer, when we learn how to pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, when we learn how to let the holy humanity of Jesus reign within us, it's a new beginning for all of the world. So we're going to end with a blessing, two blessings. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. We ask that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And a blessing with the baby Jesus. May, on this Christmas season, may the Lord Jesus bless you, you and your family, and all mankind. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you.